The NCAA tournament getting underway this week. The brackets are out. And to help us talk a little bit more college hoops, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Joe Sullivan, former sports editor of the Boston Globe, now with Nashville Hoops, talking all things hoops here in Music City. Joe, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We're awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us.
Yeah, and Joe, we have so much to talk about with you, including this bracket, which befuddles me to a certain extent. I know you're going to Dayton, too. I don't know if there's a lover of hoops more intense than you in the mid-state here, but I did want to ask you about Coaches versus Cancer Tennessee. What's coming up? I know you're on the board. What's coming up with that and how people can get involved with that?
Well, thank you so much for asking about that. And I think first I'll say, when you talk about the love of basketball, this is combined the love of basketball with a charitable event, as we all would love to see an end to this horrible disease. And that's what this is all about, a fundraiser to help that. And it's a two-pronged event. There's a tip-off breakfast on May 2nd at the Brentwood Baptist, where we will have a coaches panel that day. And also we're giving out the Lose Award, honoring Nikki McRae-Penson. And then on May 6th, there's a golf tournament at the Golf Club of Tennessee down in Spring Hill. And I think there's only a couple foursomes left for that. And I think if people are interested in playing or coming to the breakfast, I mean, I think if you just Google Coaches versus Cancer Tennessee, that might be the easy way to find it. But the official website is I would go to coachesversuscancertn.com, and that has all the information you need. It would take you to the information about the breakfast and the golf tournament, and a way to just donate. And if anyone's generous enough, it would truly be appreciated.
Again, that's coachesversuscancertn.com. Well, Joe, I have to start on the Vols here, because obviously there's a bunch of fans freaking out over what they saw over the weekend against Mississippi State. Tennessee is a 2 seed now heading into the tournament. We know about Rick Barnes and his history in this tournament, and you know, he came on our show last week and said that his record in March is obviously not what he hoped it would be. But how do you view this Tennessee team, the seeding that they have heading into the tournament, and them coming off probably, I mean, there's no probably, their worst loss of the year against Mississippi State on Friday?
It's really depressing for Tennessee fans to watch that loss on against Mississippi State. And here's the stat that just came across my radar this week that I hadn't heard, and it came from David Warlock, who does the statistics for the NCAA basketball tournament. And he said there has been no team has won a national championship that didn't at least advance to their conference tournament semifinals.
So yeah, I saw that.
If you lose in the quarterfinals, no team has won a national championship. And, of course, if you're a Tennessee fan hoping for a national championship, that's not good news, and certainly the way they played is not good news. All that aside, there's many examples of teams that have played poorly in conference tournaments and come back and done well in the NCAA tournament. And this Tennessee team, I think everyone should realize it's a little bit different. It's not like last year because of Dalton Knecht, that there is that go-to offensive player. That's been their problem, scoring points when they need them in difficult situations, and he's been able to deliver. So I do think that, going over the brackets, I don't think they're in a strong region. I think they're in maybe the weakest region. And I think they have a chance to advance far. I think I would even foresee a Purdue-Tennessee Elite Eight game.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that. What else about the bracket, just the things that first come to mind, Joe, hit you as you saw it unfold last night? I was very surprised by some of the – and this is always the case, right? You're always surprised by some of the choices. This was – I've never seen more bid thieves than this in a year. But also some of the seedings really – surprise me. What are your big takeaways from the bracket?
Well, definitely the it was the year of the bid thief. I think everyone who's been involved in this from a committee standpoint feels it's the worst year. And the chairman pointed out there were 5 bid thieves that really knocked teams out this week in their analysis. So, you know, we were a lot of us like me who love, you know, all college basketball, just not the power conferences, were really, you know, crying about Indiana State all week. And they might have gotten in except for all these bid thieves. And the other, you know, the 4 teams mostly affected were Indiana State. Oklahoma really was the last team out. And then Seton Hall and Pittsburgh. And it's always going to happen. I mean, I think that's a part of what makes this great, is that it can be difficult to get in, and there are requirements to get in. But it is it's a difficult choice. I don't think, you know, Indiana State's a personal favorite of mine. I just would love to have seen him in the tournament. But with all the bit, I understand it to a certain extent. I think the seeding is certainly they got it right at the top. And there were a couple of unusual ones in there that struck me as being too high. Florida Atlantic is an 8, surprised me. TCU is a 9, surprised me. I thought that was a little high. Kansas is a 4. What do you do with Kansas and all their injuries? I think there's a lot of questions about them. And so those are the ones that stuck out to me. Those the kind of seeds that surprised me.
Kansas is about to lose the Buckyball, by the way. I just want y'all to know. I just want y'all to know. Well, there we go.
You know, coming on here, I identified 3 games that I think are going to be upsets in that first round, where a double figure seed is going to be the single figure seed, and that's number 1 on my list. Yes, I'm with you guys. It's you know, Kansas with they weren't deep to begin with, and now with Hunter Dickinson dislocating his shoulder. And the other injuries they have, I think, you know, Samford, if people aren't familiar with them, they're, as you say, Bucky McMillan, their coach, they call it Buckyball. They're going to press the entire game. They're going to play 10, 11, 12 players. I think Kansas is in for trouble in the first round. I really do.
Joe Sullivan is with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe, what do you make of just the SEC as a whole? So Auburn rolls through the tournament. They win the tournament. We've talked about Tennessee. There's Kentucky there, which when they're on, they're as dangerous as anybody. What do you make of what we've seen from the growth really over the last 10 years from the SEC into what it has become this year, which is maybe the best conference in all of college basketball?
Wow. So there's a lot there. So the first thing I think of is this, are these enough bids to satisfy Greg Sankey? did he get enough teams in? So he's not going to try to destroy the NCAA tournament.
No.
Did he want double figures? Does he want to eventually just make the SEC tournament, the national championship? I guess maybe that would be his goal. All right, done. I'm done with those bitter remarks. But I think the SEC certainly has a number of teams that could advance far and maybe even win national championships. I think Kentucky is, as you said, as dangerous an offensive team as you could ever see. They have so many weapons. I think and I don't think they have a lot of threats in their bracket. I mean, when I look at like their bottom half of the South, as I'm looking at it, you know, Marquette's point guard is hurt. That's the 2 seed. Florida, we know they can beat them. Texas Tech, NC State, I think they're better than them. So I really could see Kentucky coming out into a regional final against Houston. Texas A&M is also in the South. I'm not big on Texas A&M. I don't even really think they belong in the tournament. I mean, I guess I soured when I saw them lose to Vanderbilt on a Wednesday night. I said this team's not a tournament team. I don't expect them to go far. And just glancing through here quickly for other SEC teams. Mississippi State's very interesting. So, I think they have one of the most interesting first-round matchups against Michigan State. And then they come out against North Carolina in all likelihood in the second round. I think Mississippi State is an interesting team that could advance. Now we have – and then you have Alabama. What do you do with Alabama? 92 points a game. It's just a question of – and they're you know – Nate Oates has said it himself. If they would just like concentrate for a few minutes on defense, they could really do well. And I just think they really can't be trusted to do that necessarily. And then Auburn, who played well in the tournament, obviously, and I think their problem is they're stuck with UConn. So they could get out into an Elite Eight. Oh no, I'm sorry, into a
Sweet 16. Yeah.
I had to correct myself there, but then there's UConn, and so I probably that's the end of the line.
I need that game because I think that game could be really interesting. But yeah, I'm with you. It's a tough draw for them. I think UConn and Boston is going to be a tough one. Speaking of Boston, I give you full credit, Joe, for some of my favorite basketball writers of all time, Bob Ryan, Jackie McMullen. I think they probably learned everything they know from you. That's what I'm guessing.
I think the opposite would be true, but yes. I say this when I when I sometimes speak that I feel like I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I'm like, I'm sort of like, I'm the Casey Jones of journalism, is that I played on a lot of great teams, but I wasn't a great player. And I worked with 9 writers who have been honored by their halls of fame in the sports they cover, including Bob and Jackie, who are just good friends of mine and wonderful people and incredible journalists for sure.
So I did want to talk about, you've been in Nashville for a few years. You have a site now that covers the heck out of.
I do, yeah. NashvilleHoops.blog is a. And people might ask, why is it .blog instead of .com? .blog was free. That's why I'm a cheap.
That's right. There we go.
I'm a cheap guy. And it is, so I cover, I'm writing about me, and I have one staff writer, a Lipscomb student named Joey Dwyer.
Yes.
Who's a real go-getter.
Shout out to Joey.
And, yeah. And, you know, we cover the what I would say the 5 Nashville schools, and I'm including Middle Tennessee State in that. And I think there's we started it because not many people are writing about it, and it's an interest of mine. I enjoy doing it. I realize it's not the Titans, it's not the Predators, it's not even Nashville SC, but to me it's very interesting, and I enjoy doing it. And I hope people would come to the site and read. I'll tell you right now. We're the ones putting up the information about the transfer portal. Belmont has been devastated by the transfer portal this weekend, when their 2 leading scorers, Jacoby Gillespie and Malik Dia, both entered the transfer portal.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I wanted to ask you real fast, Joe, is first of all, I just hate the fact that the portal now opens today. Like,
yeah.
Talk about horrific timing. Like, can we just enjoy the NCAA tournament? But what about that program in particular? First of all, I think Casey Alexander should be a candidate at Vanderbilt. I think he should be a serious candidate at Vanderbilt. But just the plight or the difficulty of a coach in that spot where that program for so many years was able to develop great players and keep them 4 years.
Yeah. So Casey has a philosophy, and I agree with you about Vanderbilt should be interested in him, about the transfer portal. He felt because of the transfer portal's effect on the power schools, they leaned so much on transfers that he felt he could recruit a better level high school player. And then he would only use the transfer portal if he lost someone to the transfer portal. Well, he just lost 2, so he probably will turn to the transfer portal to replace these 2. The success Belmont could have would be in developing players, high school players. And if he develops them too well, like a player like Jacoby Gillespie, who emerged as one of the best players in the Missouri Valley this year, the chances are they're going to lose him. And then that, relates back to NIL. I haven't spoken to Jacoby since the season ended, but is that a reason to transfer? You know, it could be he wants to transfer to play at a higher level, but also there's money there. And, I don't know if we can sit here and judge him on that, if he can advance himself that way. But it does put Belmont in a very difficult position, for sure.
Well, again, you can check it out, coachesversuscancertn.com, if you want to get involved with what's going on there. Joe, appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and have fun watching the tournament. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys.